In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the 15th section of Psalm 118, we find eight verses that all begin in Hebrew with the letter samach, which in Hebrew that word means support. And what these verses teach us is how we can hope in God's help and how we can avail ourselves to it. It begins with, transgressors I have hated, but thy law have I loved. The fathers tell us that what this means is not that we should hate sinners as people created in the image of God, but rather hate them as sinners. In other words, to hate their sin, but to love them as people, to love the sinner. We should hate sin and everything about it. When we first repent, our hatred of sin is there, but it's weak. That's the reason why we still have the remembrance of the pleasure of sin, and it's easy for us to fall back into it. But when we have to cultivate that hatred and allow it to strengthen, and we do this by the love of virtue and the scriptures which teach us what true virtue is. My helper and my protector art thou, on thy words have I set my hope. Here the prophet is not praying that God would be his helper, but rather confesses that God already is his helper on the path of goodness. When we set out on the path of the gospel, we are beset by many temptations and trials, but in the midst of them all, we should remind ourselves constantly of this fact, that God has promised to be our helper and our protector. And we know this from Scripture, and so on God's words, we set our hope. Apart from God, we can do nothing. When we hope in God, we open ourselves up to his grace and power, which is why the demons work so hard to try to rob us of this hope. But as we continue to hope and experience God's help, the greater our hope becomes, the stronger it becomes. And so it's difficult at first, but the longer we have experience of God helping us and helping us to overcome our sins, the easier it is for us to believe that he will continue to do it. Depart from me, ye evildoers, and I will search out the commandments of my God. Being friendly with those who persist in sin and have no interest in repentance or conversion is incompatible with making progress in the spiritual life. That doesn't mean you can't have sort of a cordial relationship. We live in the world, we have relationships in business or at work with people who are not believers, and we don't have to be mean or nasty to them. But it's one thing to have sort of a casual relationship with someone that's cordial, and it's another thing entirely to really become a close friend with such people. St. John Chrysostom, when he talks about the danger of being too close with people who are living a sinful life, he says it's much more likely that you're going to catch their sickness than it is that they're going to catch your health. Now, this is a totally different matter than it is when you're dealing with someone who actually is interested in the gospel. That's a whole other story, because in that case, even though they may have great difficulties, they may still be living in sin to a large extent, but they're at least interested in trying to catch your health. But when you're dealing with someone who is a careless sinner and you're hanging out with them all the time, the likelihood is that you're going to be infected by their sickness, and you need to be aware of that fact. Keeping from such people allows us to focus on the things of God and to draw nearer to him. And the fathers also point out that this applies to heretics. Now, when we talk about heretics, there are different kinds of heretics. And in one sense, you could say most of the people that we live around in this state are heretics. But what the fathers are talking about is people who know the truth and reject it, which is a whole other story. These are people who start off within the church and reject the truth. And these are the people that we have to be careful about. When you're talking about your average Protestant that doesn't know anything about orthodoxy, that's a whole other story, because they're not hostile to things that they don't know about. They might have initial reactions to orthodoxy, but they're based on ignorance. And very often you'll find that by getting to know those people, you can bring them around and open them up to the truth. Uphold me according to thy saying, and quicken me, and turn me not away in shame from mine expectation. Having expressed the faith that God is our hope, and also having stated that we should separate ourselves from evil and evildoers, we here pray that God will uphold us in this, that he will continue to give us the strength. Without his continuing assistance, we could not stand firm in the faith. We can never get to the point where we're just doing it in our own strength. We're so strong that we don't need God anymore. It's easy to fall into that temptation to think that that's the case, that I couldn't possibly fall into sin. And we have in the lives of the saints many examples of people who fell into that very delusion only to have God withdraw his grace for them because of their pride and their arrogance, and to see them fall into sin. Here we're asking that God would uphold us so that we wouldn't have that kind of a fall and so be shamed before the enemies of our salvation. Help me and I shall be saved, and I will meditate on thy statutes continually. Hope doesn't abolish the need for prayer. And so here he's praying that that hope would be manifest in his life. Help me and I shall be saved. When someone wants to burglarize a house, they wait until they hear no sounds, no signs of activity, to indicate that there are people who are still awake. And if they hear talking throughout the night, at some point they're going to just give up and figure, you know, that's a waste of their time to try to burglarize this house. And St. Theophan the Recluse compares this to someone who's in constant prayer. When we're constantly in prayer, the demons don't have that opportunity to burglarize the house of our souls while we're asleep. And so we have to constantly have an attitude of prayer throughout the day so that we can be protected from their machinations. Thou hast set at naught all that depart from thy statutes, for unrighteous is their inward thought. When the demons tempt a man, they try to convince him at first that sin is no big deal and that God is merciful, so they shouldn't worry about it. But then, when we fall into sin, they try to convince us that our sin is too great and that God's not going to forgive us. So that's the way that they try to play with our heads. But here what the prophet is trying to teach us is how to escape the first part of that trick of the devil, that idea that we should just be careless and not worry about it because God is merciful and that the sin is not too great. Here what we are pondering is the fate of sinners, their eternal reward. And when you ponder that, that will help to keep you from falling into temptation. I have reckoned as transgressors all the sinners of the earth, therefore have I loved thy testimonies. When one ponders the state of sinners in this life alone, we see that they are alienated from goodness and love and joy. Sinners know that there is a God, and they know that he's holy, but they suppress the truth and unrighteousness, and as a result sink deeper and deeper into evil. Considering their future rewards and the baseness of their lives now, we come to love the teachings of God's word all the more. Nail down my flesh with the fear of thee, for of thy judgments am I afraid. The reverent fear of God will enable us to overcome sin if we will keep God's judgments before us continually. In the wisdom of Sirach or Ecclesiasticus, we hear, whatsoever thou takest in hand, remember the end, and thou shalt never sin. In other words, remember your own end. Remember the end of your life, and if you keep that thought before you, you'll never fall into sin. Today we celebrate the memory of the prophet Samuel, and in his life we find a very good illustration of how this hope in God's help actually works. The prophet Samuel was the last of the judges, and then he was the one that anointed the first two kings of Israel. So he was a transitional figure, you could say, in two aspects of Israelite history. But the Israelites had just suffered a huge defeat. They had had the Ark of the Covenant stolen by the Philistines after they had lost a battle, although that Ark had been returned by the Philistines because it had caused the Philistines so much trouble to keep it that they finally just put it in an ox cart and let it go on its way, and that ox brought that cart back to the Israelites. But here the prophet Samuel, in chapter 7 of 1 Samuel, he calls the people together at a place called Mizpah, and he says, if you want God's help, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to put away all these idols that you're worshiping, you're going to have to put away sin in your life, and if you do that, God will protect you. And then the people pledged themselves that they would serve only the Lord and that they would turn away from sin. And then the prophet Samuel offered a sacrifice to God on that place. But while all this was going on, the Philistines heard that the Israelites were all gathered in this place. And so they decided to go ahead and attack. And we're told that the Lord thundered and that they were defeated, that they were discomfited is the way that it says in the King James. But that means that they got whooped. Now, exactly how the thundering of the Lord was working in combination with the Israelites chasing them, because then we're told the Israelites began to pursue them and to slay them, and that for the rest of the time that the prophet Samuel was serving as a judge, the Philistines left them alone. And then we're told that the prophet Samuel took a stone, and he set it between Mizpah and Shen, and he called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." You probably heard Ebenezer Scrooge. Well, that's where he got his name, but it's not a bad name. It's a good name, Ebenezer. "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." We have to put away sin. We have to hope in God. We have to turn to him in prayer like the prophet Samuel. But if we do that, God will deliver us. He will deliver us from all our enemies, and we will live a victorious life if we will just simply stand firm in that, remembering our own death, nailing down our flesh with the fear of God. God will give us the victory. Amen.